Welcome to Thrive Deeper, the show based on the Thrive Bible reading guides. This is an ongoing conversation about God's Word with Thrive author, Dr. Matthew Jacoby.
Well, Matt, back in the studio, and it's a cold one this morning.
But, very nice.
But exactly.
Just the way I like it.
Just the way you like it. And I've got my jacket on still, but I'm sure we'll warm up here as we get into this conversation because, listeners, we're going to be continuing our study through Proverbs. And today we're going to be talking about humility and pride. And I'd have to say, probably reading through this and doing some preparation for this podcast, man, it's pretty convicting because for me anyway, I realize how much I want my opinion to be in the mix, you know, and how hard it is to kind of like sit and just let other people speak. And often, you know, there are times for me afterwards, and I'm sure we'll come to this, Matt, where after a meeting or after a conversation, I'm going, oh, I wish I'd waited until they'd finished saying what they were going to say before I jumped in and said what I wanted to say, you know. And so there's some such great wisdom in what we're going to be talking about today. So listeners, we're going to be talking about humility and pride. We probably won't separate them too much because it's pretty difficult to talk about one without the other. It's a bit like you can't talk about hot without talking about cold. And we're going to sort of work through the Proverbs in sort of topical in a topical way, as we've discussed before, rather than going sort of from one proverb to the next.
Which is then interesting, and I pointed in the last episode, I pointed this out. It's interesting to note what are the main the themes in the Proverbs. And actually, when it comes to the sort of inner attitudes, the one that sits right at the top is, well, I mean, the fear of the Lord, of course, is mentioned often, but the fear of the Lord is very much associated with humility. So pride really stands at the top of all the sort of vices that are, you know, that are explored in the Proverbs. Pride is right up there. And it's interesting that you say what you say, Stu, because pride really goes to the core, I think. If you were to strip back all the layers of all of our dysfunctions, right? You know, what would you find right at the core? Right. And I think a very fundamental level of pride, and I'll explain what I mean by this. First of all, biblically, this goes right back to Genesis chapter 3, of course, because the temptation in Genesis chapter 3 is that if you eat the fruit of the tree, it's not just that it's going to taste good or that you'll have some, then you will be like God. Then you will be like God. And so the temptation, in a sense, is to step out of one's position to reach up for something higher, which is essentially the essence of pride. Perhaps stepping out of one's position is not the right way to put it, but to try to transcend who we are. And I don't mean that because that could be taken in a sort of almost a caste, like you have a caste in, like I don't mean it like that. Actually, specifically, it's about taking God's position in it, essentially. Yeah. This, of course, is the problem with, I mean, there's a lot of things associated with pride. For example, judgment, when we judge others, is actually a form of pride because essentially it's taking the position of God because it is exclusively God's prerogative to judge. And when we judge, therefore, we're taking God's prerogative. So that's an expression of pride. So judging others is the wrong thing that we do, or even the wrong attitude. But actually underneath that, and this is what I mean by the core, underneath that is this base level of pride, is reaching into God's prerogative. The God complex that we carry, really, I would describe that as the kind of root level issue with human nature. Now, I think it's also important not to because some people might say, oh, no, but I don't think much of myself and I just think I'm terrible and I have really low self-esteem. That actually is not humility. I've heard it said, you know, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less.
Yes. Yeah.
Perhaps alternatively, you know, humility, we shouldn't confuse humility with failed pride because a lot of, I think, what passes for humility, that sort of self-hatred, is actually can be a form of false, failed pride. I mean, so that's important to distinguish that. And really, the thing that aligns with humility in the Proverbs is, of course, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the thing, because in contrast, it's this recognition of who God is and this awe of God that puts you in your place.
Yes, that's
in a sense.
Spot on.
So that's why this is so, you know, these themes of humility and pride are so central to the Proverbs, because, of course, the great theme of the Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Mm. The fear of the Lord essentially is humility. It is the thing that puts us in our place as human beings and is the opposite to reaching into to God's prerogative.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, Stu, in, you know, really important text on transformational development that I read a couple of years ago, Bryant Myers, Walking with the Poor, one of the key issues that he sees in international development when it's done badly, like bad examples of international of any development activity or any form of charity, in fact, he refers to this God complex. It's
yep.
charity done out of a kind of God complex. You're the unwell, I'm the well. You're the poor, I'm the wealthy. You're the not successful, I'm the successful. It's a way of helping people in a sense that just confirms the distance between you.
But also I think there's an element of pride in that, because we then go away and go, aren't I great? Aren't we
yeah,
great?
Yeah, that's right.
What
yeah.
we've done. You know?
That's right.
It's like it elevates that difference, but it also, in a sense, that's the pride coming out, because we then go away and we feel good about ourselves.
That's right.
And that's the wrong motive. God doesn't want us to do things because we feel good about ourselves.
Yeah, that's you right. Know? So, I mean, you can go to a third world country and walk through yeah. a very poor area. And I mean, often, you know, people say, I feel very thankful, I think, which is the positive.
Yeah.
But also it can instill a level of pride as well. Yeah, a sense of superiority as well. And that can be a problem in all of our dealings with people, because the fact is, particularly post-fall, we're all in the, you know, Paul says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so the two things that unite us as human beings, first of all, of course, we're all children of God, created equal as children of God. But having fallen, we're all equally broken. I mean, the core issue, whatever moral differences you might find between you and another person, the core spiritual issue, and I may say this pride, you know, our core
yep.
sinfulness, let's call it that, is actually the same for everyone. So there's a level of spiritual poverty mm. that we all share in that puts us all on the same footing. And so this is where there's a double problem with pride. There's pride in its initial form, which is reaching into trying to be like God. But then there's a pride that doesn't recognize that you are actually a broken, fallen person.
Yeah.
And it's not realizing how broken and fallen you are. And of course, you know, Jesus tells that the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, when the Pharisee says, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other people, that I, you know, I do all these great religious things. And especially I thank you that I'm not like this tax collector here, you know, but of course the tax collector is this corrupt official, you know, he beats his chest and he cries out to God and says, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And of course the point of that is that they're both in exactly the same spiritual predicament. It's just the tax collector recognizes it.
It's how they see themselves mm. and then how that impacts and reflects on the others around them. I read a great little definition. It's how we treat others in the name of truth, how we view ourselves, and how we conduct our lives in the presence of God. Person writing this suggested that it's impossible to have fear of the Lord, true fear of the Lord, if you've got pride and arrogance, because essentially you're elevating yourself beyond who you really are.
That's right.
And as we recognize who we are and our brokenness, as you just said, then God becomes even larger in our lives and we recognize his power and authority.
Yeah, you know? That's right. So Proverbs 22 verse 4, humility is the fear of the Lord.
Yeah, I mean, that is, totally.
You know, it couldn't be clearer than that. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. In one of the themes that very much comes out, therefore, in the light of what we've said, is that it seems that above all, the thing that God hates most of all is pride. Mm. And, you know, it's in Proverbs 6, verse 16, says there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Now, what does it start with?
Yeah.
Haughty eyes.
Yeah.
You know, haughtiness is the sort of arrogant, you know, like viewing people from a point of self-elevation.
Yes.
That's haughtiness. Yeah. It's sort of an old word. We don't use that much, but you'll find it in your translation. And then conversely, if humility is the fear of the Lord, to fear the Lord in Proverbs 8:13, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance. Mm. That's the thing that is distinguished there from everything else.
And coming back to your quote from Proverbs 21, I know we're jumping around a little bit listeners, but we're just going with this theme here. Haughty eyes and a proud heart, the unplowed field of the wicked produces sin. And it speaks to me about what you said before. If we don't plant something good, if we don't plow our field and plant something good, then bad stuff is gonna.
That's right. And the reason why is because there's a core problem there. We're not just neutral. And that's an interesting, that idea of haughty eyes and a proud heart being this unplowed field. So there is a sense, if we don't plant something good in there, then what's going to come up is going to be weeds, because our natural tendency now is to adopt this God complex. Now, whether we succeed or fail, and in some senses, we're worse off if we succeed, of course, because the more you taste pride, the more of it that you want. And so this elevate. And of course, there are some people that try to get ahead and fail and fail and fail. And then these are the ones that think they're hopeless and all of that sort of stuff. And again, we should not see, that's not yet humility, really.
No.
That can just be failed pride.
Yeah.
It can be the pain in a sense of failed pride. Yeah, so that's an interesting one there. So
now, just before we move off that, kind of where we're at right now, we often as parents say, I'm so proud of my son, or we say, take some pride in yourself. You know, I think it's important to talk about what we're talking about there. We tend to use that word a little bit interchangeably. And I think it is important that we take some sense of pride in the way we look, which is not the same pride we're talking about here, is it?
Yeah. And in fact, I was reading in Paul's letters, you know, he talks about how he takes pride in actually in the believers. And there's that sense in which we say, look, I'm really proud of you.
Yeah.
And so there is and I think perhaps language is the problem, because totally. You almost need a different sort of word here, because essentially that's saying I am really built up in the right kind of way.
Yeah.
The New Testament talks about building each other up, you know, edification. And to have pride in that sense is in the legitimate sense to be built up or edified.
Be encouraged, you know.
Yeah, but to actually feel good about
that,
you know, about what's happening in your life. Because I think we can still recognize and be thankful for the good things that God has put in our life.
Yeah.
You know, we can, it's okay, I think, to recognize, you know, I have a gift and I'm thankful for that, or I have, or I'm content with who God has made me to be, or I feel, in Paul's case, you know, he took joy in the fact that he'd done all of this work, and there was fruitfulness for his work. You know, so he took pride. You know, he wasn't proud about it, but he was edified in a sense, or built up by seeing the fruitfulness of his ministry.
And there is a balance in that, because, you know, again, we've got gifts God's given us, and he does want us to invest in those and get good at that, you know, whatever it is that he's given us to do. And, you know, I think all of us have come across people, and this is where the false humility comes in again, where it's like they feel like they just can't do anything. And no, God's put something in you.
Yeah.
You need to be step up and to a sense, believe in what God's put in you.
Yeah.
And work it, grow it.
That's right. And again, not doing that is not humility.
No, that's right.
You know, that self-doubt is not humility. That can just be the pain or the scar of wounded pride, you know, essentially.
That's great.
It's interesting in the Proverbs how pride is, you know, often associated with wealth, and, you know, poverty with humility.
Yeah.
And of course, remember, the Proverbs aren't, they're not law, or they're not, I mean, these are, They're saying what is often the case and
what we typically experience.
Yeah, that's right. What we typically experience, that there is a danger in wealth of becoming proud and thinking inherently that you're better than other people. That is a real danger. And I think anyone that's honest will recognize that. On the other hand,
I think the other danger in wealth is also priorities. It can reset out. Think about the rich young ruler, for instance. There's a sense of it readjusts. Is God the main thing,
you know,
so there's absolutely a sense of superiority to others, but also just in our own lives, what becomes the priority?
That's right. So Proverbs 15:25, the Lord tears down the house of the proud, but he sets the widow's boundary stones in place. And the sense there is, you know, the house of the proud, our house or the car that we drive are often, they can become sort of trophies of our pride. Yeah, status symbols. That's right. You know, again, we've just got to be really careful of this. Now, that doesn't mean if you drive a nice car, that it's necessarily you're driving it because it's a status symbol. It, you know, it may be that, you know, you've done well in business and you can afford to drive a nice car and it's nice to drive a nice car. Right?
Yeah, totally.
But the point is, in the Proverbs, we just need to watch our hearts, right? Mm. When you have something that might be a status symbol, the temptation to wear it as a status symbol is ever present. So we just need to be careful about that. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. Again, this emphasis on the fact that this is the thing that you've got to watch out for. And again, if you find it in yourself, as we read these, if you feel convicted, don't let Stu, I often say, we're never closest to being deceived than when we're closest to truth. Because when you feel that conviction that I think is a moment of truth, right? It's at that point when the enemy comes in and wants to twist that and turn it into condemnation. And again, that's not creating true humility. God creates true humility through the conviction, but our accuser wants to come in and turn that to condemnation. The thing, conversely, that God loves is when we see something in ourselves and we immediately confess that and talk to God about it. Stu, the other thing about pride is that I don't think it's humanly possible to actually shift this. It's not. I don't think you can move this. There are plenty of other vices that with a bit of self-discipline, you can remove that. But pride is a core thing that it's like this unfortunate solidified bit of bedrock in our lives, a sort of a heart stone, if I may call it that.
Well, a lot of
that
the other
God
things,
has to explode
yeah,
that thing.
Yeah, a lot of the other things that we can deal with are kind of symptoms, whereas pride is actually a cause.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's just so much harder to deal with it. You know?
And I think in my experience through life, you know, working through all of the different sort of outer things and then having the experience of coming to this core element and realizing I am actually faced with something here that sabotages my life from which is, you know, all of the other things are symptoms of that thing.
Yeah.
And I remember very clearly coming to this and I still sit with a sense of that this is something, when I come to the core, there is this sort of heartstone of pride that I actually cannot. This is not something that I can remove.
Yeah.
So I have to go to God. And this actually then, Stu, is humility. I have to go to God and say, God, I can't move this. This is going to kill me. Lord, it's this dependence on God to break that down, because I think only God can break that down. And that's interesting, because I think then the revelation of that is a God-given thing. I think that conviction really is humility. And in a way that humility can exist alongside, it's not like you either have pride or humility. I think in some sense, this is the paradox, you can be proud of your humility.
Yes,
you can become proud of your humility.
Yeah.
I think when God gives you that sober view of yourself in the light of the fear of the Lord, as we've been saying, when God gives you that, there's a sense of helplessness in the face of your own predicament, of the state of your own heart.
Mm.
And that actually is the most important sense of humility. So don't at any point think, oh man, yeah, I'm filled with pride. Because I think it's quite likely that because of the impossibility of it, you could well go through your whole life just in this sort of self-flagellating attitude. Whereas, no, actually, God can do something about that and break that down if you're up for that journey.
And I think just the fact that you recognize that in yourself, or I recognize that in myself, to say, man, this is a problem, that's the great place to start.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that's right. A great place to start.
Yeah. One of the other interesting themes, and these are repeated statements to you in the Proverbs, is the sense in which pride precedes a fall. That's quite a common idea.
Yes.
You know, pride comes before a fall. Proverbs 16 verse 8, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Before a downfall, Proverbs 18 verse 12, before a downfall, the heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. Mm. Proverbs 11, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Proverbs 29, pride brings a person low, but the lowly in spirit gain honor. You know, Jesus says a similar thing those who humble themselves will be exalted and those who exalt themselves will be humbled.
Yes.
You know, the first will be last and the last will be first.
Matthew 23.
That's right. It's a, you know, it's very much right out of the Proverbs, you know, that statement. In fact, the proverb, God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble, Proverbs 3 verse 34, is quoted from twice in in James 4 and 1 Peter 5. God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. So there's a sense in real humility, which, as I've said, it can actually be expressed in us acknowledging our own pride.
Yeah.
It draws the favor of God. But pride, which is God complex, trying to play God, even trying to save yourself through your own religious achievements, that's what's evident in Jesus' critique of the Pharisees,
yes.
You know, a very religious people, and remarkably so. And yet there was a pride that came with that. And of course, they were trying to draw the favor of God. But as Jesus points out in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, no, what draws my favor is you acknowledging the state of your heart, which is often at core. Pride.
Totally. Proverbs 15:33, the one you read before, wisdom's instruction is fear to the Lord and humility comes before honor. That really spoke to me because I think often we puff ourselves up with pride because we want to be honored by other people around us. It's like, I want to make sure you know about all my amazing achievements so that they honor us. But this actually says, you know what? Actually, it's humility that comes before honor, not pride that comes before honor.
Yeah. So, that's right. Because pride is so ubiquitous, pride sits in every human heart.
Yeah.
I think it takes one to know one. And I think we know if you lash out in pride and boast and just pump yourself up, listen, people will know.
Yes.
Right? Yep. Because it takes one to know one. Not that we can judge people for that, of course, because we are one, but there is this also, therefore, Stu, this theme of boasting, interestingly, in the Proverbs is alongside this. A fool's mouth lashes out with pride, Proverbs 14. Mm. A fool's mouth lashes out with pride, but the lips of the wise protect them. Proverbs 25:14. Like clouds and wind without rain is one who boasts of gifts never given.
That's a great one.
You know, it's boasting of capacities and abilities and boasting of things that actually when you don't have a sober view of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, Paul talks about, you know, having a sober view, a realistic view. Do not think more of yourselves than consistent with what you are.
And I like that one. I think it's even more powerful for me anyway, in a sense that we all want to be good at everything. You know, we look at other people who are really good at something, but it's not a gift God's given us, but we still want to be as good as them at that.
Yeah.
And this recognition, no, God's given you certain things that's your strength and the things that you can work on and perhaps take the lead in.
Yeah.
But there are other people who have other gifts and you need to be willing to submit to their leadership in those areas because that's what the gift that God's given to them. You know,
Absolutely.
It's not just trying to be the expert at everything.
Yeah.
You know? And that leads well into
And I think that's, you know, I mean, this is where, and this is actually in Paul's discussion of pride in Romans chapter 12. I was reading that recently. You know, he addresses pride. Do not think more of yourself than you should. And it's actually in the context of him discussing the gifts in the church.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you'll not be able to recognize how God has put other people in your life to help you with things, right?
Yes.
If you're pride, if you're proud, you won't benefit from that.
Yeah.
You know, you'll try and do everything, which will then, in a sense, disempower other people from opportunities. And so sometimes, again, we can take the part of the humble servant, sort of do everything. When actually, maybe you shouldn't do everything. Maybe you shouldn't try and do everything. And there's a sense of allowing other people. I think this is something that's been such an important part for me of working in a leadership team is recognizing, oh no, that person is going to have a better perspective on that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with them.
Yeah.
I'm not going to try and do that and that or put in here because actually I think they'll do that better.
Mm.
Of course, there's something in me that resists that and that's pride.
Yeah.
But there's so much benefit in recognizing the gifts that God puts in the people around you. So, you know, again, here, as it says, this is an important part of humility.
Proverbs 13:10, where there is strife, there is pride. But wisdom is found in those who take advice. So speaking to what you just said, it's like you think you know it all. Well, you're going to end up in trouble.
Yeah.
If you actually listen to other people who may know better about that thing or have a gift in that area, then you're going to do well.
Yeah, and the association of strife with pride there, I think, is important because I think if you go back through world history, isn't pride the root of so much conflict in the world? Mm. It's often actually about pride.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, if you think about let's just that's a great segue to something else I was going to raise, which I think pride is a lot to do with what we want other people to think about us.
Yeah,
a big chunk of it's not just what we think about ourselves, but it's actually about what we want other people to think about us, which is saying that what other people think about me is more important than what God thinks about me.
Yeah,
and if you look at even some of the wars going on right now, let's look at the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Everyone's talking about how do we help Putin save face? It's not about what the right thing is, but how can we help him not lose pride, not lose face if he doesn't win, and in fact, from his perspective, it's like, I'm not going to lose. And so it's actually about, again, instead of wisdom, it's about pride.
Yeah. In fact, I mean, it's interesting. Francis Fukuyama, the economist and a philosopher in a very famous book called The Last Man and the End of History, looks at history and looks at the struggles in history and actually puts a lot of that back to this desire for recognition from others. So that sense of face, and how my image and, I mean, I just watched finished watching a documentary series on the Vietnam War. And one of the reasons America was so reticent to pull out again was this saving face thing, because if we fail,
this
is
going to
be humiliating for America. And so this fear of humiliation and the need to be the strong and capable. Now, at so many levels of life that exists, but this need for recognition, according to Francis Fukuyama, is a core driver of human history, because people are wanting to, recognize me. And,
that's great.
And, there's a sense in which through that, therefore, we sort of build personas, we are persons,
yes,
but we can live through personas.
Yeah,
and it's like this weird sort of alter ego thing that we create, this persona through which we live, and we build up our persona the way that people see us. And it's all very dysfunctional. It's like we can live through a persona, and in some sense, life's experiences can sort of bounce off us, because it's the way I describe it is we've got, those beautiful suits of armor with all the carving and the gold inlay and, that you see from medieval times.
Yeah.
I think pride and the identity, the false self, the persona that we can build in pride can be a bit like that armor.
Yeah.
Life's experiences sort of bounce off it, and it's heavy, it's onerous to maintain. And actually, it's very sensitive. On the contrary to being protective, it's, pride is like a balloon. When you blow it up, it's like a swelling. When it puffs up, when anyone even touches it, agony, we can work so hard to sort of build, build this sense of, image. And it's interesting here in Proverbs 27, it talks about boasting about tomorrow. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Now, why would we boast about tomorrow? Mm. Because whatever we feel like is lacking now in us, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to get this and I'm going to get that. It's a way of sort of filling up the remainder of what we want to be. It's like if I could say I'm going to do this or I'm doing, then it's essentially trying to build up that persona.
But there is a balance then between that and still planning your life.
Absolutely.
And thinking being wise about decisions you make and in a sense having some life goals. I don't think, we're not saying we shouldn't be thinking all about tomorrow and just living for today.
Yeah.
But it's that balance again, isn't it? It's like finding that balance.
So it's not saying don't plan for tomorrow or don't talk to people
about
your plans.
Or don't have some goals for tomorrow.
It's not saying don't have goals. It's talking about boasting.
Yeah.
It's the boasting about, it's the building of my persona through, trying to convince people I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that.
I'm going to be a millionaire by the time I'm 21.
That's right. Yep. And maybe you are, but don't boast
way
about
past
it.
Past that, let me tell you.
That's right. Let someone else praise you. Proverbs 27 verse 2. Let someone else praise you, not your own mouth.
Yeah.
An outsider and not your own lips.
Mm.
You know, I think that's a great one. On humility, conversely, Proverbs 16, verse 19, better to be lowly in spirit along with the oppressed than share plunder with the proud. And as I said before, humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor for life. Wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honor. Again, see how in the parallelism there. Parallelism is that sort of double, when you have a line and then another line,
like
that
sort of sits.
That's right. Mm. How it puts, again, humility beside the fear of the Lord. Because without God, without this sense of God, this awe of God, and this sense of who we are in relation to God, we therefore build our identity comparatively in relation to other people. Inevitably, think about it, right?
Yeah.
If our primary identity is not found in us being children of God, and I mean dependent children of God, right? So, you know, Psalm 115, not to us, not to us, but to your name be the glory, right? Everything is received, you know, we are, it's all of God, we are children of God and so forth. If it's not that view, then we still need to build an identity, we still need a sense of identity. You can't live without a sense of identity. So if we don't get it from God, we
get it from other places.
Get it from other places and primarily from comparison with other people. Because our whole sense of ourself is relational. My sense of myself as a self is always in
relative to other people,
is in relationship. Okay. Mm, mm. So self-aware, and this is, you know, there's a famous book called I and Thou by the Jewish philosopher Martin Buber, where he, you know, asks the question, where does our sense of self come at the most basic level? Our sense of self, it essentially comes from an encounter with another. With the other, when I encounter the other in the dynamic of that relationship, I encounter myself as a self, as a person.
Yeah.
So we don't know ourselves in isolation. We know ourselves in relationship, primarily in relationship with God.
Well, if it is primarily in relationship with God, then we're in the right position.
That's right.
But if it's primarily in relationship with everyone else,
it's going to be comparative. So therefore, and I think this is an important point, Stu, because if we're not really plugged into that, you know, if that relational dynamic with God is not active, and I mean active, it's not, you know, a relationship is an active, ongoing thing, because it's from that we draw our sense of self. If it's not that, then we are actively going to be drawing our identity from how we compare with other people. That's all we've got left.
Yeah.
And so it's all going to be, how do I measure up in relationship to other people? Now, I think any of us will have to, you know, frankly, admit that we do that. You know, we do actually draw our sense of adequacy or, you know, whatever from other people. It's the feeling of jealousy and it's the feeling of, you know, I should have been recognized for that, not that person.
Where we
I
are could in do the that pecking better. Order.
Yeah, where we are or, you know, this gets us back to where we started, Stu. And I think it's good to end on this theme is this, you know, the connection of how fundamental this is really.
Yes.
You know, and I think this is where, you know, why do we do that? Why do we compare ourselves to other people constantly? Mm. And why is it so hard to not do that? Mm. It's because at core, the core heart stone really is pride, essentially. Yeah. And so in a sense, pride is diminished in the fear of the Lord, essentially.
Because we recognize how small we are and how big God
That's
is.
Right.
Before you wrap up, I just want to read Proverbs 3, 5 to 8, because I reckon this summarizes pretty much everything we've said. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones.
Yeah, that's right. There's an invitation here, I think, Stu, for us to take off the armor. Let's be done with the armor. Let's be done with that, you know, because it doesn't help other people. When we try to gain our identity from what we do or how we compare to other people, we inevitably have a negative effect on other people. Inevitably. We overshadow people. We're called to be a light. The great symbol, of course, of human pride in the Bible is the Tower of Babel. You know, let's make a name for ourselves. I mean, it's interesting that in the very next chapter, God says to Abraham, I will make a name for you, right? And it's deliberate, right? I will make a name for you. But of course, human rebellion says we will make a name for ourselves. And it's this tower building thing, you know. It's also exhausting. Building towers building our identities is exhausting, but we have this sort of compulsion. I mean, it's literally demonic in the sense that the way that Satan is characterized is through pride. I mean, you know, the famous passages in Ezekiel chapter 28 and Isaiah chapter 12 liken, first of all, you know, Tyre in Ezekiel chapter 28. It likens the king of Tyre. It sort of characterizes the king of Tyre as Satan in a sense. You know, your heart became proud on account of your beauty and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you down to the earth. So this sense of, you know, reaching for more, I mean, that in a sense is the original sin in the sense that it's, if this account is indeed to be taken as a sort of king of Tyre being characterized as Satan, which I think there's good evidence to take it like that, then really pride is the demonic vice, essentially. But therefore it's also this core, you know, this core issue in each of us. But it's something, the fact that it's something that only God can remove, I think puts us in a really, in the right position. As I've said today, I think for me, if I ever attain any degree of humility, the moments of the purest humility come in the face of my pride. I know that sounds paradoxical, but it's facing the pride, think, oh man, I'm way more broken. Like this is, I've got way bigger issues than what I thought. It's at the very core and I actually can't do anything about this. But what I've also discovered is that when we really trust in God and we give that over to God, He will do things in your life. First of all, He will continually give, because it's the dynamic of your relationship with God. In that relationship, you will actually gain a more realistic view of yourself. And that's an ongoing thing, right? And so in the dynamic of my relationship with God, that is actually how I can gain and we can gain a realistic view of ourselves. And God is, He wants to do this in your life. You know, He is merciful. He's always inclined towards us in mercy, right? It just says, just acknowledge the problem. The moment you acknowledge the problem, you draw the favor of God, right? That's the Pharisee and the tax collector, right? And remember, tax collectors in the, and I'm referring, of course, this is in Luke 18. I encourage you to go and look at that again, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector in Luke 18. I mean, Pharisees were wealthy, proud people, right? And that Pharisee was that, you know, as he came into the temple to pray, was so conscious of his own pride and his own, you know, and his own corruption that he could just only say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, you know. But the Pharisee, that same pride was there. It's just that he didn't recognize it, right? He took pride in his religious achievements. It's the willingness to recognize these issues that really is true humility and that draws the favor of God. And the favor of God is guaranteed to us, absolutely guaranteed to those who humble themselves before God, of course, through what Jesus has done for us. You know, Jesus has paid for the sin of pride and draws us to, you know, and we connect with that by seeing the problem and by crying out as the tax collector saying, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. It's that prayer of the tax collector in that moment that is the ultimate saving prayer. Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Thrive Deeper. Our home on the internet is thrivetoday.tv. You can contact us, ask questions, see all our resources and much more at our website, thrivetoday.tv. We really appreciate the questions and thoughts about what you're reading as we go through the Bible with Thrive. Until next time, our prayer is that these shows will inspire you to go deeper and thrive.